Tonight, we're going to speak on faith, particularly unshakable faith. You know, living by what God says, not what you see. Now, we all know the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." You know, faith isn't just believing that God exists. It's living like you believe what he says is true. You know, God does exist, but what he says is true, and it should be true to life for each and every one of us. You know, faith is active, not passive. It's not based on feelings, circumstances, or what things look like. It's rooted only in the Word of God. Now, we have the statement, Brother Hagin always says, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. See, that was the way that he walked. If God's word says it, then we believe it. And that's how our faith should be unshakable. What does God's word say? That's the most important part. You know, today we're going to dive into how to walk in unshakable faith, the kind of faith that doesn't waver when life hits hard because it stands on something stronger than emotion. That's the word of God. We're not standing on emotions. We're not standing on reasons. We're not standing on what things look like. We're standing on what God's word says. What does God's word say? You know, faith begins, first of all, where the will of God is known. If you don't know what God's word says, then you can't walk in God's word. Brother Hagin, in his material and in his books, he says this, that one of the biggest reasons why people do not get healed, and I'll rephrase that, why people do not get anything by faith, is because they don't know what the Word of God says about their healing or says about their life. And that's one of the big reasons that we came out with, you know, started on tape, Healing Scriptures. And, you know, now it's available on MP3, also available on a CD drive. It's available in a book if you want to read that. But the point is you need to know what God's word says about your healing. And you should play it over and over and over again. You know, because Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we've all heard Brother Hagin say it this way, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not by having heard one time. We have to know what God's word says in order to act on God's word. If we don't know what God's, you know, word is, we don't know what God's will is. You know, many people, they always say, I've heard people say, well, is it really God's will to heal? Well, obviously, we have scripture in the Old Testament and the New Testament that it says that by his stripes, or by the stripes of Jesus, that we were healed. Well, obviously, based upon Jesus' action, it's God's will to heal based upon the word of God. Amen. So what does God's word say? You cannot believe for something unless you know it's God's will. Faith starts with knowing what God has already said in his word. You know, many people are waiting for a word from God. We have many words from God that's already been written. You know, when the devil was tempting Jesus, he didn't come up with something new. He went back to what was already written. He says, for it is written, for it is written, for it is written. And I believe that was an example for us when the devil is beating down our head, when it looks like that we're not going to receive what we're believing God for. And he's beating. So we need to tell the devil, well, Mr. Devil, for it is written, for it is written, for it is written. What does God's word say? You know, faith grows in direct proportion to your knowledge of God's word. So what we should do, we should spend time in the word daily. Let it shape what you expect and believe. Because many people, we say the right things, but do we really believe what we're even saying? A lot of people wake up in the morning and say, this is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. But are you really going to rejoice and be glad in the day just because it's the day the Lord's made? Or are you just saying it because it's a habit that you started 10 years ago? You know, so because many people will say it, but they're not rejoicing and being glad in that day. You know, well, there are some people that are pretty happy to wake up. And the older you get, the more happy you are to wake up. Actually, you're even more happy when you wake up and your back's not sore. And you feel good. you know, but, you know, I'm joking, but kind of being serious at the same time. You know, sometimes you realize by age, you know, when, especially when you decide to play sports, and then you feel it the next day. And I was talking to one of the kids that used to be in my youth group, by the way, that was what's funny, and we were playing volleyball the other day. He's like, man, you know, Pastor Craig, he says, I'm not as young as I used to be. He says, I play sports and I wake up hurting the next day. I'm like, join the club. You know. And I'm, you know, the sad part about it, he was in my youth group. I'm older than him. So anyway, amen. But faith grows in direct proportion to our knowledge of the word. Make time daily to read, study, and meditate on the Bible to feed your spirit. Amen. Faith also speaks before it sees. Now, we all know Mark chapter 11, verse 23 says that you're going to have whatever you say. Now, the whole verse actually says this, for surely I say unto you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, the Bible says you're going to have whatever you say. So what are you saying? Because whatever you're saying is what you're going to be having. If you're always saying that you're never feeling good, that you're, you know, things are always miserable, that's what you're going to have. You need to speak what God's word says, not what maybe reality is around about you even. Because sometimes, I get it, sometimes we look at the world and we look at all the things and circumstances going on and we want to speak, you know, like the world speaks, but you know what? We're not of the world. We need to speak faith-filled words. I saw this, faith-filled words frame your future. You speak the promise, not the problem. You know what, I get it. We all know, we all see problems, you know, exist, but you know what? It's not the problem that we should be focused on. We should be focused on the promise. The Bible says that we can have whatever we say. Now, notice it says you can have whatever you say. It doesn't say you can have what the pastor says you can have. Or it doesn't say you can have, you know, whatever. Because many people, you know, the Bible says to speak to your mountain. In fact, I've actually been there when someone has actually come to my grandfather and asked him to pray for him, you know, or her, or about a certain situation. And he's pointing out that the Bible says for him to speak. And he says, you know what? Why don't you speak it out and I'll disagree with you. And the reason he was doing that was the teaching. It's not going to the pastor, going to a preacher to pray, because your faith, see, what happens is your faith is in that person. You're thinking, well, that person can get it for you. But the Bible says for you to speak to your mountain. And it says that you're going to have whatever you say. So you know what? If your mountain doesn't move today, then you keep saying. Now, if your mountain moves today, that's great. Then you can just shout and run, you know, do a victory lap around the church, you know, then be pretty tired after that. But anyway, you can do that. But if it doesn't move today, that doesn't affect what you say. You just keep speaking the word. You keep saying the word. You keep confessing the word. It's not, you don't confess what you feel. You confess what you believe. You know, faith talks even when there's no physical evidence. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it seems like. You know, words create spiritual momentum. The more we say them, the more we believe them. You know, I know, and it works in the natural. You know, back in the late 90s, probably about 1989 or so, I graduated from college in 1991. So sometime around 89, 90, I was at Oklahoma State University, and I took a lot of early classes. I remember just kind of halfway awake in my shower saying, I hate school. And I would say, I hate school all day long, the next day and the next day. And you know what? The more I said, I hate school, the worse school got. You know, and it wasn't like that it was hard, because, you know, school's not hard. It's just that you had to be there, and you had to actually at least be there for test day. I had a math class that I only showed up for test, because the first day I was there, the teacher had, here's the quizzes, here's the test, this is all the assignments for the year. If you want to show up to class, fine. If you don't, fine. You know, so I showed up for class the next day, and I found out the teacher didn't teach the class. He left a graduate assistant to teach the class, and that graduate assistant never even looked at the class, took the chalkboard the whole time. I'm like, I don't need this class, you know, so I just showed up for tests. But anyway, I used to say, I hate school, and I hate school, and I hate school. And the more I said it, the more I acted. And then I finally decided, you know what? I'm going to change my attitude. I'm going to love school. All right? And so I started confessing every morning, I love school. And every time that I would think I hate school, I would say I love school instead of saying I hate school. Today, sometimes I'll find myself in the shower, halfway awake, saying, I love school. And I'm like, I don't even have school, you know, but I do get to teach school. So I do love school and I love my students, all right? So, but you know what? You know, we should change our attitude. And the way that we speak changes our attitude. The more I said I love school, the easier it got. You know, the less drain it happened. It's just something that built momentum on the inside. You know, because my school didn't change, my teachers didn't change, you know, what I was saying was changing. Now, what you say is really what you expect. So you realize when you say that I never have enough, you know, even though we do serve the God that's more than enough. And, you know, people say, well, I'm, you know, at the end of the month, it's always a challenge. It's always tough. It's always rough. You know, I mean, you know, I can't afford this. I can't afford that. I can't afford, and you know, whatever you say, you're going to have. You know, your talk speaks where your faith is. Because even though some people say, well, yeah, you know, I'm trusting God to meet this need, but the way they talk, they don't sound like they really believe in their need's going to get met. They're not talking like it. Amen? You know, speak God's promises over your life. Declare what the word says, not what you feel. Start speaking the outcome you believe for healing, for peace, for provision. Even when it looks impossible. And I think that's the hardest thing. But, you know, our Jesus pointed to a moving a mountain and have it being tossed into the sea. That's pretty impossible. That's what he was saying. Guys, no doubt it might be impossible, but you put your faith in God and you speak the word. It was impossible. What he was speaking about when he cursed a fig tree and it died, that was impossible. But it happened. Why did it happen? Because He spoke. He said it with his mouth. He believed in his heart, and he had what he says. You know, faith also is not moved by circumstances. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Romans chapter 4, starting with verse 17, you know, says this. This is speaking about Abraham being the father of many nations. As it says, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him who he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who contrary to hope in hope, believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God, though unbelief, but for strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham didn't waver in his faith, even though naturally he can't have children. He's 100 years of age. You know, his wife is too old. He's too old. But the Bible says, or God says, you're going to be the father of many nations. It's hard to be the father of many nations when you're not the father of anybody. Now, I know somebody said, well, what about Ishmael? But you realize that Sarah was the one who wavered and gave Ishmael to Abraham. Abraham fully believed that he would be the father of many nations, and he was. Why? Because God said so. You know, if God said so, that's pretty important. Well, what does God say? I mean, if you know what the word of God says, then, you know, instead of letting the devil knock you over the head, why don't you say, well, God says so? I mean, that's the most important thing. You know, faith doesn't ignore challenges. It chooses to trust God's word more than the situation. You know, yeah, I mean, faith doesn't deny reality. It just puts God's truth above it. You know, there is facts and there's faith. And, you know, I encourage people, like, you know, one of the things that I personally think that if you're sick in your body, you should go to the doctor, find out what's wrong with you so you know how to target your faith on whatever you're going through. Now, the deal is when the doctor gives you facts about what's going on in your body, doesn't mean you need to curse the doctor and says, no, I'm not, you know, it's okay to know the facts. But we have to look beyond the facts. When the facts say, you know, there is no way, well, you know what? The earth was null and void, and there became a way. When God said, let there be light, there was a way because God made a way, even when it seems there wasn't no way. I just spoke a sermon the other Sunday about Daniel and lion's den in the fiery furnace. Both those situations looked like there was no way out. But God provided a way. So if, you know, the Bible says that God is, you know, no respecter of persons. So if God can do it for them, then he can still do it for us. Because we serve a God that changed not. We serve Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, you know, circumstances may change, but God's word never does. You know, sometimes in life it will seem like things are going great. Sometimes in life it will seem like everything's going bad. What is it, Murphy's Law? Whatever can go wrong does. You know, sometimes it seems like that. It seems like, you know, when everything is already bad, you know, it gets worse. Like, you know, your transmission goes out or something like that. But if you got that new car warranty they called you about last month, you know, or not, you know, so anyway, that's a joke. But faith sees the promise, not the problem. See, whenever sometimes the problem is staring us in our face, that's when we got to look at Jesus. It's not about what it looks like, it's about who we know. What do I know? What does God's word say? I like this. The truth of God's word overrides temporary facts. See, whenever you're talking about facts, there can be permanent facts, and then there can be temporary facts. You know, the fact that the doctor diagnosed me with a certain situation, a certain thing, does not mean that that situation and thing has to take over my body. Those facts are temporary. I'm not going to believe those facts. Even though I know that they exist in this world, I'm going to go by what God's word says. I'm going to go by what, you know, the word says that Jesus Christ has already healed me. Not I'm going to get healed. I've already been healed. So I'm going to believe it even when it doesn't look like it. You know, and like I said, I have just now at this point after, you know, a couple of years, I actually looked at what the Google said that would happen with the kidney disease that I had, you know, because I never looked at this alternative because I never felt that that was ever going to happen. So why, you know, I never thought my kidneys were not going to be normal. Not one point in time, even whenever I would go to the doctor and my numbers weren't normal. I wasn't moved by my numbers. I have charts to look at. You can go back in my chart and look at all the history and you can see, you know, how bad it was. But you know what? Even when it was at its worst, I wasn't focusing on how bad it is. I'm focusing on how good my healing is. You know, I'm not looking at the circumstance. I'm speaking to the situation. I understand the facts. I understand, you know, that things are serious. But, you know, I also understand my God. I also understand what Jesus did. I also understand those things. You know, like I said, the truth of God's word overrides temporary facts. You know, refuse to let what you see change what you believe. Stay anchored in the word. You know, when challenges arise, double down on God's word. Don't waver. Speak his promises louder than the problem. You know, sometimes we, even when we're trying to let people know what's going on, it's like sometimes we focus on like, you know, I get it. You know, if you get diagnosed with cancer, sometimes you need to tell people, but you don't have to hold like a suitcase and tell everyone you see, hey, I have cancer. I have cancer. Hey, I have cancer. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, I get it, but you know, if you don't want to have cancer, you quit having cancer. My grandfather would never say he had anything. He had the symptoms. See, he would say, a headache is trying to come on me. I didn't have a headache. It was trying to come on him. That's how he spoke. All right. Lastly, faith acts like the Bible is true. You know, faith doesn't wait for a feeling. It moves on the word. If you believe you're healed, act like it. If you believe you're provided for, give like it. You know, James 2:17 says faith by itself if it does not have works, is dead. You know, faith without action is just hope. True faith takes steps even when you don't see results yet. You just keep walking it out. You keep acting like it's true. You know, I heard my grandfather would say, well, you know, I've told people, well, what would you do if you got your need met? Well, some people said, I start shouting. Then he said, start shouting. You start shouting whenever you say it. You start shouting whenever you pray. You start shouting the first time. Because, see, if you really believe that by faith, then you should act like you have it because you already have it by faith. You already have it by faith. You know, I read this, you know, a lot of times that the Webster's New World Dictionary says that faith is an unquestioning belief without any proof or evidence. I don't need evidence. My faith is my evidence. I don't have to see the outcome. I can believe the outcome even when I don't see the outcome, even when it doesn't look like the outcome's going to happen, even when it doesn't feel like it's going to happen, even when it looks like it's going to be impossible. I know what my God said. I know what the Word of God says. I can stand and not waver no matter what. Because my faith is in my God. That's Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. It's also written on the back of your money. In God, we trust. When things go crazy, when things go wild, we trust in the Lord. Bible and Old Testament, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. That's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. You know, faith without action is incomplete. If you believe it, live like it. You know, ask yourself, this is, if I really believe this promise, what would I do? Then do it. Like I said, Brother Hagin, I've said it all the time. You know, act like it's true. Act like it's true. You know, it doesn't matter whether it looks like it's not going to be true. We got to act like it's true. At all times. I know that there's a song, it's not a Christian song, it says, don't worry, be happy. That's how we should live life. Jesus said for us not to worry, but let's, you know, have life. In fact, He says that He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And if you're not living that abundant life, then why don't you do that? Well, yeah, the reason I'm not living the abundant life because the devil's doing this and that and the economy is this. See, the deal is you're looking at outward appearance. You're looking at what things look like, what things feel like, what things seem like, instead of what God's Word says. You know, I point this out all the time because many people, when they read the teachings of my grandfather and they see that, you know, they're like, well, you know, he was a great man of faith and power. And yes, he was, but not whenever he was laying on the deathbed as a young teenager, not even really going to church only a few times in his life, not even knowing what the Word says, and just because he decided to read the Bible. And he decided to start with the New Testament instead of the Old Testament. And he began to read and read all of Matthew, all of Mark, Mark chapter, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, got to Mark chapter 11 and read a few verses. And even, you know, after he read those few verses, he called upon a pastor to come and explain the verses. And the pastor, you know, told him to be patient, my boy. In a few days, it's all be over. You know, pastor started planning his funeral out. So the pastor didn't even give any hope. The only hope he had was in Jesus Christ by reading the Word of God. And because he got a hold of a few scriptures, and we all know in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24, the Bible says you can have whatever you say. It doesn't matter what you feel. He didn't feel like getting out of bed. He didn't feel like moving. His body didn't work. But a young man, by reading a couple of scriptures, got off his deathbed. Because the Lord says, well, what do well people do at 10:30 in the morning? He says they get out of bed. He did it. He acted on what he believed. And when he did, he says he held a hold of the bedpost, and all of a sudden something hit him on the top of the head. And it says if it wouldn't have felt so good, it would have hurt so bad, because it was pins and needles. It was his nerves all waking up. You know, it says it oozed through his body like honey. And see, that's what he talks about. You know, whenever, what would you do if it was true? You would act like it. And that's what he did. And that's how, you know, and when we look at him, we look at a person full of faith and power, but we need to remember, he just got a hold of a few scriptures. Man, if we could get a hold of a few scriptures and we could really act on them, it could be life-changing for us. You know, but many of us, we hear scriptures and we hear them, and that's a great scripture, that's good, I believe it. You don't act like you believe it because you're not acting, you're not speaking like it, you're not looking like it, you're not feeling like it. You know, it looks like it's not working in your life. But we have to have unwavering faith, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. You know, faith is not a moment, it's a lifestyle. See, we don't just have faith for one moment. We live like the Bible teaches us. You know, faith is practical, it's powerful, and persistent. It stands on the word, it speaks with authority, and walks boldly no matter what it sees. You just believe. You know, I just want to encourage you tonight, and I'm finishing a little early because I've never preached a sermon before. My mom got on to me and said, make sure you're done by 8. So I've kind of... I ran through this notes. This is a brand new sermon that I've never preached before, and my mom got worried. So I made sure that I haven't expounded on my points a whole lot, all right? So we're going to get out early tonight, thanks to mom, all right? But I just want to encourage all of you, stay grounded in the word, speak with boldness, act in confidence, and walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here in this room and each and every person that's watching online. And Father God, we just thank you that you'll just help us tonight to be able to know what God's word says, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it seems like. Help us to focus in on the promises, not the problem. Father God, we just thank you for each and every one of us that maybe everything's going great, but help us to remember this sermon whenever things begin to fall apart, because it's not what things look like. It's not what things feel like. But help us to have unwavering faith no matter what. And we thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you today. The connection team is in the aisle. They want to give you a special gift really fast if you'll just go with them a few minutes to the north lobby. Well, the way we dismiss around here on Wednesday nights is we have some men over here, some women over here. And if you need prayer for anything, whether it's salvation, whether it's healing, whatever it might be, you know, if you're a woman, you go see the women. If you're a man, you go see the man, you know, and let them pray for you. Amen? Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Take care, and we'll see you back here on Sunday morning.